You're listening to BQN. Assimilate the audio.
Engage. 78 years have passed since the days of the original USS Enterprise. Now a new galaxy starship has been designed.
Transporter Chief, beam our listeners aboard. Welcome to Galaxy Class, a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast on BQN. I'm your host, Chief Recreational Officer Rhea Papagiorgio, joined today by Counselor Amy Nelson and Head of Indecisiveness, Joe Keegan. Lady and gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
We're back.
Yeah, episode 101.
Yeah. We had to recover after episode 100, I guess.
We did.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself because I don't know what my job is. First full week back at school and I'm done already for the year.
You're like all the memes where, all the back to school memes where the parents are jumping up and cheering and the teachers are...
Not. In the quarry, at the coal face. Mm-hmm. That's it. How are you guys?
Well, doing okay. Very excited for STLV that's coming up.
Yes. Sorry, Joe. But yes, when this episode drops, Amy's already in Vegas, but we'll be at Bally's, you know, mingling and hanging out with everybody. So
yes.
Yeah.
It will be different for me because I didn't get convention tickets, but I will be doing all the things after the convention. So listeners, I won't be inside the convention, but you can find me elsewhere, just right outside in the pool, at the bars, at dinners. Ooh. So
on the roof.
Yes.
I believe there are some gays in space parties up on the roof.
Excellent. So. Very looking forward to seeing my Trek family.
Is the had a wee squiz at the convention map? Is it not split? So there's the main convention space and the ground floor, then there's a couple of like smaller theatre stages up on the 26th floor.
Oh. I think you have to,
if you want to see maybe, I don't know, some panel in the main stage, then you have to go that, then you have to get a lift up to the 26th floor to see something on that smaller stage. Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't seem logical.
Yeah, I haven't even looked. But this will be the only year it's at Bally's, right? It's at it's only there because of the renovations at the Rio?
I have seen one post on Facebook during the week that said next year it's going to be, I think it was the 3rd to the 5th of August. Which is good for us teacher folk, because it's in the holidays.
Yes, at the beginning.
Yeah, and people from overseas, like me and Ewan, can come over again.
Yeah.
Because we've not been in a while.
Oh. It's been way too long.
And I'm...
So who posted that? Just some random fan or someone who knows anything?
It's probably some random fan who saw it apparently on another post, but when you search for these things you can never find anything concrete, so here's hoping it's back during the holidays. And I'm quite fond of the Rio. It does stink of smoke and old people sweat, but you know, you drink enough to make that smell go away.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it'll be newly renovated, so maybe it'll stink of young people sweat.
I don't know if that's any better.
Yeah. Probably not.
We're teachers. We know young people sweat. It's not nice.
Oh no, that's not nice. No, not junior high kids sweat.
Oh,
that's the worst.
Do you know what I've been really excited about this week? I found an old game that I used to play on the Macintosh back in 1993-94. And it was an unofficial Star Trek game. And every couple of years, I tried to get it to work again using like emulators, because it won't work on modern Apple software. And I'm never very successful. But somebody somewhere who's a genius has done their genius stuff, and I've been playing it all week. It's so good. is you fly the Enterprise around this wee two-dimensional map and you rescue colonists. And there's Rulans and there's Fengi and there's Kigons, because the guy that wrote it's unofficial, so the guy that wrote it didn't want an NDA from CBS or Paramount or whoever back at the time.
Gotcha.
The guy's called Tom Spreen and he's from Vancouver-ish way. And literally I spent hundreds of hours playing this as a teenager and I loved it. And I'm so glad that I literally spent hours playing this little game, firing torpedoes and rescuing colonists. It's cool.
And is it on, it's a computer
yeah,
game?
Yeah, it's on Mac, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what the weirdest thing is?
You don't have to have a different console.
No. So you can use your mouse or trackpad to control things, but I got so good at it, I could use the keyboard and just like type in keyboard commands. Mm. And weirdly, I remembered all the keyboard commands from, 20 years ago? Just muscle memory, just it came back to me. So I was flying around the galaxy, saving people, fighting the Borg. It's cool. Love it.
Very cool.
I love muscle memory. Like you're like, okay, I haven't done this forever. And then your body just takes over and you're like, oh my gosh, I remember.
Yeah, like it's really useful for playing the piano because things you haven't played for years are still in your fingers. So it just comes back really quickly.
Yeah. And tap dancing.
Yeah.
Last December, for a movie with Bill Victor Arukin, I busted out the tap shoes, hadn't tap danced in years, and something came out and a noise happened.
Wow.
Was that a tappy tap tap noise?
It was a tappy tap tap noise, yeah. And I didn't fall either.
Did you do the Data thing in Data's Day? Yeah. Like, to fall over.
I was just as technically proficient as Data, yep. Yeah, muscle memory is an amazing thing.
The dancing rear. Well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's check the communication array to see if we have any comments from our listeners.
Normally we would skip past this because over the past feels like months, nobody's left us any feedback. So we have feedback today.
I know. I want to hear what you guys thought of TNG at the helm. So, you know, retroactive feedback will be accepted.
Today we do have feedback. So thank you. This is from our episode 100. And we have Greg Malumbi writes in, good show today, but when you said you were doing a 100 episode celebration, I was thinking you were going to talk about the podcast and how it's evolved and maybe have some highlight best episodes of the podcast. For me, I think the interviews you did the early part of the year was some of your best work, especially when you talked to the producer of Prodigy, Aaron Walke, and Rico Anderson. I also really enjoy the Batleth battles, but I do have a little suggestion. I would like to follow along on them in terms of where you are at. Would it be possible to post the Batleth battle charts or whatever website you use in the show notes for future use? I hope there might be some more interviews lined up when people come back from the summer. In terms of favorite episodes regarding the cast, Picard, The Defector, Riker, Frame of Mind, Troy, Face of the Enemy, Data, The Offspring, Worf, Sins of the Father, Wesley, The Game, Beverly Crusher, Suspicions, Ro Laren, Ensign Ro, Geordi LaForge, The Mind's Eye, Q, All Good Things, Tasha Yar, Yesterday's Enterprise, Miles O'Brien, The Wounded, The Entire Cast, All Good Things, or Allegiances. Well, Greg, thank you so much for your comments. And yes. I love your choices. And I love that you like went to the secondary cast with Q and Tasha and Miles. That's a great addition.
Yeah, if we'd done that, it would have been a 2-3 hour podcast. So, yeah. But definitely some crossover with what we were thinking for our favorite episodes as well.
Yeah, yes. And Greg, it's been a kind of a crazy summer for most of us. So we're hoping once the dust settles to get some more interviews lined up too.
Yeah, Rhea, we miss your This Is Your Trek series.
I know, yep. I know. I'm missing it too.
We have a comment from our friend Nadine Bayati. Also continuing from Greg's comments, turning it around, these are my favourite presenter episodes. Oh, and he's not missed anybody out, which is good. So, for me, Galaxy Class 37, which was our science in TNG part one, and has commented that it's better than story time. I agree. Story time, I feel really awkward doing story time. It's because I listen to audiobooks, so I'm exposed to really good audiobook narrators who are professionals, and then I do it, and it's like, yeah, it's not very good. Amy's was number 64, Amy's favourite things. Matching equations to characters was genius.
Thank you so much, Nadine, for recognizing that. I seriously was so scared to do it, but I love that that you mentioned it. Thank you.
For Rhea, we've got Galaxy Class episode 65, which was our recap of Destination Star Trek London, purely because we mention Nadim in it. Because Rhea and I met Nadim in the middle of the convention hall, which was always interesting. Lovely guy.
Nadim. Yeah, you're awesome, Nadim.
For Kevin, we've got Galaxy Class 97. Kevin's solo about time travel. It was nice to hear his thoughts on an interesting subject. And Kevin's not here because Kevin's away clowning around the country.
Yes, can't wait to hear Kevin's stories from Clown Camp
Man,
in Georgia.
It looks like he had such a fun time.
Yes, yes. Listeners, today we're going to bring you some Season 8 episode ideas. As you know, TNG, as well as Voyager and Deep Space Nine, ran 7 seasons. And I learned recently, and correct me if I'm wrong, but 7 seasons was like the sweet spot for syndication. A show had to run like, I don't know if it was at least 7 seasons or up to 7 seasons or whatever it was, but 7 seasons was the magic for syndication purposes. Now, after TNG wrapped, of course, they went right into shooting the movies. But if they did do a season 8, you know, what would, you know, 26 episode season. Now, there's 3 of us here. If we have three rounds apiece, that gives us 9 episode ideas. But what, how would they fill out a 26 episode season?
So, who's going first?
Amy, do you have any suggestions for a season 8 TNG episode?
All righty. Well, I do. And I like when TNG does the callbacks to, and they started doing that more obviously in the later seasons. So the Enterprise has been informed that there is the Terrillium plague that has an outbreak on a planet, and they need to contact the Terrillium plague ship from Haven. And so they have to track down Wyatt Miller because he was, you know, the person who was going to try and save it all. So they go pick up Lwaxana and they go pick up the Millers, and because they need to contact Wyatt. And so they're going out, and then Beverly and Troy take a shuttle over to the Terrillium plague ship, and thankfully, Wyatt has found an antidote and a cure to this plague. And so they are able to go and share the plague. That is my episode.
I love it.
And we've got the Millers and Lwaxana there purely for uncomfortable comedy value.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Nice. I like it. And I'm so glad Wyatt cured the plague.
Yes. I mean, that was his life goal, you know. And he obviously has a lot of drawings and pictures still around the ship. Because I love that artwork that he drew.
So in your mind, Amy, who is Troy with during season 8? Who's her love interest? Because obviously Wyatt's coming back into it.
Well, but Wyatt's with that pretty blonde-haired lady.
Daryl Hannah from Splash. Uh-huh. Yes.
So,
and when we leave all good things.
I'm going to say it's... at the beginning of season 8. So there's still a transition with her and Worf. But I think after seeing Wyatt and seeing how Wyatt just totally, you know, went for his love, that this is going to be the turning point where Troy is like, I need to follow my heart. It needs to be with Riker. And so that's sort of the change where now Troy and Riker are going to be serious. So that's sort of the B plot, you know, Riker, Troy, following your heart and getting rid of Worf.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask about the B plot. Before they reach the plague ship, do they know that the plague's been cured?
No.
Okay.
See, because that's the, yeah, Beverly and Deanna, and I paired them up because I think they're the best. When they go over there, that's when they learn that Wyatt did find a cure.
So, okay. So, just to clarify, they go over to the plague ship not knowing it's been cured. So they're going
exactly.
over.
They were sacrificing themselves for, yeah.
Interesting.
High stakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there a discussion at the beginning about Beverly, like, trying to get the ship ready? Like, decontamination and, like...
Yes, and how are they going to...
All that kind of medical stuff. Yeah. Triage.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wow, those were some pretty intense questions, Joe. I'm glad I sort of had this thought out.
Yeah, I want to see the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, how fun would that be to reference something all the way from season 1?
Mm.
You know, just yes. that callback. I love yes. that when TNG does that. Yeah. So.
Me too. And we'll get into that more later. But Joe, what's an idea that you have for a season 8 episode?
Okay, I just wanted to ask Amy, what episode number is that? Where is that in the season?
I'm feeling it's around 4 or 5.
Okay. Can you yeah. nail that down?
Okay. Can I?
Is that a two-part?
I will
it can
say
be a two-parter
four.
If you want.
No, no it's not, not okay, enough okay. for a two-parter. Yeah. I'm going to nail it down to 4. However, if I feel that your guys' choices need to be before mine, I have the right to
yeah.
shuffle.
This yeah. is a pre-season storyboarding yeah. now where all the writers are in the room and we're trying to sort out the season.
That's right.
This is us. We could, if anybody's listening, we're available. okay, my first choice. This is basically the episode. It's called The Inner Light Part 2.
Oh.
Okay, ooh. So Beverly is on the way back from a conference on a shuttle, and you know she's the.
It's always dangerous.
Know, it's on autopilot, and she's just going about her business. And she's reading a book, and she's got a little glass of sherry, yeah. And ooh. Then she detects a signal like a distress call kind of thing, and so she goes to investigate, but she knocks over the sherry, and it smashes on the floor, and it turns yes. out to be one of those probes. The planet Catan, yeah.
Yeah.
And it scans her, but there's nobody there to help her because she's on the shuttlecraft alone, so she's just unconscious. But she's living this life on this ancient planet that's long since dead, and it turns out that she is the wife of the guy that Picard was. And then she gets back to the Enterprise. Wow. They like, back on the Enterprise, she's overdue for the rendezvous. So they go mm-hmm. searching for her, and they find her, and they rescue her. And then there's just this moment at the end of the episode, a wordless moment, where she briefly, well, it's not, it becomes wordless, but she briefly explains, oh no, it is completely wordless, because she writes a report, and Picard is in his ready room, reads the report, and just goes to visit her quarters, and they just look at each other, and there's no dialogue for like a minute, and then the episode ends. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
wow.
The yeah. shared experience wow. that only those two have.
Yeah. A lifelong marriage and children and grandchildren
yeah.
together.
Oh. On the shuttlecraft, when the whole thing ends, when they rescue her, the probe beams aboard a rescuing guitar that she spent her life learning. And so Picard and Beverly play rescuing flute guitar duets and live happily ever after.
And tour the Alpha Quadrant.
Yes. Doing arena tours on all the Federation planets. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome.
The B.
Okay.
The B
so
story.
This
there's
is
a B
coming.
Hold on.
Okay.
There's a B storyline.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Spot has gone missing on the Enterprise. but there's a number of cats. And on deck 43, the cats have this colony that they've started. And they're just like kittens running all over the place, chewing their way through, scratching into the bulkheads, chewing their way through Isolinear chips, just causing havoc. And they don't really know why all these things are going wrong in the ship. They have to, after they rescue Beverly, they have to go and find a planet to deposit all the cats
to
on.
To drop off all the cats.
To start a new cat colony.
Is it Una Meowtrix Zero?
Meowtrix Zero. Wow.
Voyager reference?
Yeah, we got it. That no? was very, very quick-witted. Yeah. Una Meowtrix.
Would they be dropped off to the Cations?
Well, I was thinking that, yeah. Dr. Catwoman.
Tiana.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So with this being season 8... Mm-hmm. Picard's already had his little romance with Nella Darren.
Yes. And he's already had this wee thing with Crusher in terms of attached.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was season 7. And so this just...
And Vash.
Well, Vash was ages ago. We've forgotten about her. This just cements their...
Does Nella Darren go on tour with them?
Ooh.
I don't think the piano goes with the Reskin flute and the Reskin guitar.
Heck yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Reskin piano.
Reskin piano. She's not been scanned by a... I don't know how to say that word. Catanian probe.
Probe?
Yeah, I know how to say probe. It's the Catanian one. I don't know how to say. Yeah, so that's my wee idea for an episode. Inner Light Part 2.
And where in the season do you see that?
That's episode 15.
15. Yeah. Okay. In the middle.
Yeah, roughly. Right.
Very nice.
Okay, I'm liking it. Christos will be very happy for that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Picard plays himself on Catan.
He should.
No, I think it should be...
Yeah.
Because Beverly doesn't know that that's Picard.
Right. Okay.
And it's only until, as you said, when Picard's reading the report, that that's when they realize they had the shared experience. Ooh.
So Jeffrey Combs then.
Yeah, sure. Because we're all in on it. We know. Yeah. Because they have the same set, they have the same house, and they have the same kids. So we know, but they don't know yet.
Right. They don't know that they know.
Yeah. That we know, that they know, that they, but they don't know
they
yet.
Know.
Yeah. Exactly. Whew. It's a good season already.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm really liking it. All right.
I know. These are great ideas.
Rhea, what do you got for us?
You guys are going to have to help me flesh this one
out.
Because this was, I'm trying to go like in kind of where I would put them in the season order with these. And so one thing I really like about New Trek is how everything kind of weaves into each other. And there's so many references to other series. And oh my gosh, this upcoming Lower Decks Strange New Worlds crossover. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. So to me, it only makes sense that season 8 of TNG is coming out. So by this time, it's going to coincide with season 3 of DS9. And the second half of season 8 of TNG would coincide with season 1 of Voyager. So I do want to see some, you know, again, some crossover stuff. Well, season 3 of DS9 starts off with The Search, parts 1 and 2. And so one thing I would like to see at some point in season 8 is some DS9/Dominion crossover. Because it kind of doesn't make sense that the Enterprise wouldn't be at all involved. And that is one thing through the rest of DS9 is you never saw the Enterprise. But I have a solution for that. But that's at the end of Season 8. But anyway, so you've got The Search, and then The Die Is Cast is another episode with DS9. That's near the end of the season, episode 21. But I'm thinking kind of to kick off Season 8, we've got some type of Dominion Founders tie-in. And I don't know exactly what. So that's where, you know, I need your help to flesh things out. Or the writers.
Can we share this then? Yes. My next choice was there's a changeling on the Enterprise D. Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
They've kept the Enterprise D being the flagship kind of out of the way of any kind of Dominion involvement because of the way the USS Odyssey got on. And then that single Gem Hadar fighter just took out the Odyssey and the whole Galaxy-class starship blew up. But they can't help but getting involved when somebody goes up to a conference and comes back, but it's a changeling instead.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And the changeling just wreaks havoc all across the ship. But it's the Enterprise D crew, so nobody can outwit them for long.
Mm-hmm. Is it Barclay? It should be Barclay.
Hmm. I hadn't thought to... There was one thought where, basically, Data gets infested, in a way, by the changeling. I don't know, like the changeling kind of... A bit like in the Orville, where the goo guy goes inside the...
Oh, yeah. Yaphet goes inside of Isaac?
Not Isaac, but one of the... Kelpians, Kalons, yeah. Too many names. So basically he uses Data. Data can't control himself because the changeling's inside controlling him. And Data goes around kind of hurting people and being too quick to do anything about and kind of programming the computer and doing bad stuff.
Ooh, I like
I'm
it.
I'm picturing the changeling in there pulling levers.
Yeah.
Data like a marionette.
Data's got a wee door and it doesn't have a telephone. It's just got a wee changeling in it. Yeah, a wee Xbox joystick. Yeah,
yeah, the joystick. Yep.
Perfect. Well, see, this is a two-parter, so it's my episode and your episode here making a two-parter at least.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. That's kind of as far as I got fleshing out the details for it. Amy, do you have any ideas? What would we have to?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I do like that idea. So would this be like season 8, episodes 1 and 2, like launching and opening?
I don't think so. I think it's near the very end. It's not a season finale. It's like a two-parter, a couple episodes before the finale.
Okay, sort of like Gambit.
Yeah, because season 8 is going to coincide with Deep Space Nine season 3, I think. And season 3 right. is where we started to know about the Dominion. So in order for the kind of Dominion to fully kind of infiltrate the Federation and be where the Enterprise D is, I think it needs to be towards the end. I think there's maybe something in that the Enterprise D and the crew know they can't survive an attack by Jem'Hadar forces, and they know they've got a changeling on board, and they know there's a small Jem'Hadar fleet en route to kind of rescue the changeling. And destroy the Enterprise. So there's maybe a tie-in, a crossover Deep Space Nine episode where the Defiance racing to get to the Enterprise D before the Dominion forces get there.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
So we get some cool space battle stuff.
Heck yeah. Oh, this is a good two-parter.
Yeah. And Beverly's obviously there to invent some new shield technology to stop Jem'Hadar ships ramming them. Like metasonic shields.
Yeah, I was definitely
shields.
Envisioning a lot of like... Yeah, a lot of action here in season 8. Some heavy action war Dominion DS9-ish episodes here in season 8. So cool.
So that was round one. That was
well,
good.
Well, that was round one. And is that your round two pick there, Joe?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a two-parter.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of mixing up in our outline here, mixing up the order of who goes when in each round. So I guess I'm next for round two. And having just said, I want to see some heavy stuff, some action, some war, Dominion fighting, whatever in season 8. My round 2 episode is something lighthearted, something fun, something where hilarity ensues. And every season in TNG, we had a Lwaxana episode, and every season we had a Q episode, but we never had the two of them together. So my round 2 pick is a Lwaxana and Q mashup. So, whatever happens, hilarity ensues, right? And I was kind of thinking, because in DS9 Season 3, we had Fascination, where Lwaxana appears aboard, I almost said the Enterprise, appears aboard DS9, and she's got whatever condition that's like causing the crew to all have, you know, romantic feelings for all the wrong people. I'm trying to remember what the name of her issue was, but... Anyway, whatever. So she's projecting that onto the whole space station. So in my episode here, somehow through whatever reason, she ends up on the Enterprise and coincides with a visit from Q. Well, her hormones affect Q, and Q ends up like falling in love with, I don't know, who, Worf? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Take your pick. I mean, he's already in love with Picard, but, you know, not exactly a total knockoff of Fascination, but I just mostly want to see Loxana and Q in the same episode because that would be hilarious. Maybe she falls in love with him. Maybe he falls in love with her.
I foresee like it's a mutual attraction thing. Like, I think Q sees her as a kind of really lower life form that he's never seen before. Kind of he's intrigued by Loxana, a bit like he's intrigued by Picard, being the best of kind of humanity. She's the best of her species in a way.
Well, what if this is before he, well, obviously he has his kid, right, in Voyager. Mm-hmm. So this is the beginning of him wanting to, you know, have a family. And so, but is jump-started because of Loxana's condition. And so then he falls in love with her and is like trying to get her to have her his baby and to, you know, maybe she can become Q, but then they're two strong personalities and they're both so headstrong and then they annoy each other. Mm-hmm. And yes, hilarity ensues.
And the whole time Deanna's horrified.
Yes.
But I would like to see Q in love with Loxana because he's so omnipotent and superior and so better than any
and
mortal.
So she.
And she feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be funny. Yes. And then, ooh, we could have Picard being just a wee bit jealous.
That's right. Because both of these people are usually chasing after Picard.
You know what? I think what would be fun, if we're going for a comedy episode, I think at the beginning when Picard realizes that he's got Q and Loxana to deal with, would you see him going to a shuttle bay, getting in a shuttlecraft and leaving?
And says, I have a conference to go to.
And for the whole episode, he's just not there. Doesn't tell anybody, just gets in the, in the car and leaves. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And while he's gone, he gets, you know, picked up by the Dominion and replaced with the Changeling. Ends up in some Dominion camp with Bashir and Martok. I don't know. But that's hilarious.
I don't see why we can't have a three-parter. Because we've got the comedy Loxana Q episode as episode 20. Then episodes 21 and 22 are our Dominion crossover with having to rescue Picard from the Dominion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a changeling
on
board.
I'm liking it.
Okay. And it's a changeling Picard. That makes it even like the was it Allegiance? No. The one where Picard gets kidnapped.
Switched out? Yeah.
And with the
Allegiance.
Yeah, with the Nausicaan and the
Bolian. We just talked about that.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Nice.
What a fun episode.
We just need a clever Q pun name for it, and I don't know what that would be.
Q.
Change Q-ling?
No, it's it's got Troy, like Menage a Troy.
Menage a Q?
Yeah, there's something in it. There's a funny, some fun wordplay to be had there with its naming.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Yes. So listeners, we'll need your input on that.
Yep.
Cool. Well, Amy, what is your round two episode?
Okay, so I wanted to have something because I like new life episodes and how they explore and find and help new life and not get taken over by new life. So there is a new life form that reproduces through transporter beams. So anytime anyone uses a transporter, their DNA is changed and they have this alien life form. So it's sort of a mix between Realm of Fear and Identity Crisis. So Riker, Geordi, and Data beam back from this planet, but now are infected. However, Data is not because he's an android. So we have Riker and Geordi going through this transformation, and they don't know that it's coming from the transporter. So we're sort of going to get a little genesis also because everyone's going to beam down and beam back up, and then they have this thing. So it's this, you know, a whodunit clue type of thing where they, you know, mystery that they have to solve. They finally pinpoint it down to the transporters, and then with that energy beam, clean out their systems and leave it all on the planet, and then Mark send out buoys and say, don't beam down.
Like a colonic.
Wow.
Like a colonic irrigation.
A colonic? Oh.
Clean out the systems.
Yeah, you know how transporters, you know, you just put on the biofilter. Yeah. Yeah.
I really want Data to be infected as well because it's transporter, so I don't think it would be purely biological. I kind of want a wee baby tentacle, robot tentacle to burst out Data's chest at some point.
Okay.
Nice. Or him to grow a mask, like masks, and start talking funny. Mm. Maybe not.
I want this episode to be really creepy.
Mm-hmm. Because we can have that life form be changed into anything.
Yeah.
You know, like something scary and...
Uh-huh.
And then it's like Riker and Geordi, like they're going crazy and they're freaking everyone out. And yeah.
I love that idea for that alien species, Amy. That's brilliant. Like, where did you come up with that?
Literally. Okay. Listeners, I was going through the list of TNG episodes because I like the callback. You know, I did the Millers to Haven. Mm-hmm. So I was going through and I'm like, what's something that I want to follow up on? And I like Realm of Failure and then, you know, new life form with identity. I don't know, that transformation and Genesis, they sort of all were marinating in my head.
That's so cool.
You're making the links.
And I figured this is a good middle, like 12, 13 episode.
Kind of a good horror-y thing. Yeah. That should get followed up with something light, but cool.
What's the name of the episode?
Ooh, I don't know. Transporter Horrors is too on the nose.
Yeah.
New Transporter.
Transmutation.
Ooh.
Nice.
Any B-plot?
Oh, yeah. You're lucky you got that part of the story. But, I mean, sort of like clues how everyone's involved. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I like
it. That's all brilliant. Character, you know, not just a one. It's everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Wow, I hope someone's taking notes here. You know, Mike McMahon or whoever, are you listening? All righty. Well, on to round three. And I guess it's my turn to begin.
Again?
Okay. So when this topic came up, the very first thing that came to mind for me was the return of the conspiracy aliens.
Seriously, Rhea, you stole my idea again.
What? You guys are in sync.
That's frightening.
That's fine. We'll have a two-parter again.
Actually, this is a three-parter.
Oh, wow. Okay. One and a half
because
each.
What I was kind of... What I was thinking with this, so this is my idea, and we'll hear your idea, Joan. Maybe it's totally different. But I was thinking of this as a season finale three-parter, possibly leading up to a movie, possibly series finale. I don't know if we have a TNG season 9. But this could also be a way to pull the Enterprise out of the Dominion stuff. Because, you know, unless we want to rewrite all of DS9 to somehow include the flagship of Starfleet, you know, the Enterprise is out off doing other things. So in my very, very not fleshed out three-parter idea here, the conspiracy aliens return somehow. Enterprise has to go off and deal with it. Somehow we segue Worf off the Enterprise because he'll end up at DS9. Is there an alliance with the Borg, or do they ally with the conspiracy aliens against the Borg, or do they pit the conspiracy aliens against the Borg to kill each other off? Or I don't know. Of course, true to form, I have not fleshed these things out very well. But So I'm sure you've got a lot more detail there, Joe. Although technically, according to the outline, it's Amy's turn. So.
No, but let's continue this thread. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So the signal that was sent out and then the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Now that beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. Like creepy, and it just went and faded into the distance. So this is the reply to that signal. Yeah. The Enterprise detects the same signal from a kind of faraway system, but it's really, really heavily populated with people that we've never met before, aliens and stuff. And they go to the system, and then they detect some weird spatial anomaly above the plane of the solar system, and through the spatial anomaly comes this massive, gargantuan, organic spacecraft thing that basically scoops up the entire system with Enterprise in it and goes back through the anomaly, and it's a harvester ship from the conspiracy aliens They just harvest whole systems as food and take them back to their whatever galaxy or whatever part of the galaxy they're in. And that's the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
With the Enterprise being... Wow. Oh, that's the season finale, isn't it? The Enterprise has just been scooped up in the whole solar system. Do you know what? Why? The reason I wanted something really big and gargantuan and epic. Last night, we went to see Star Trek, the motion picture, the movies. Mm-hmm. Like the first movie with V'ger.
Director's cut and
like super high definition 4K. And it looks really good on the big screen. So it does. Wanted this. Now, V'ger at the beginning, the cloud is 82 astronomical units in diameter. I wanted something big. Because normally we just see small things. Things that are smaller than planets. I wanted something truly gargantuan to come in and scoop them up.
And that's interesting because by the time this would air, it would be the very end of Voyager Season 1, which actually started in January. But kind of similar to Caretaker, where Voyager gets swept up into a different quadrant. But I like it, Joe. So if that's the season finale, do we do a Season 9 or does this like... segue, because my idea was kind of it segueing into a movie in this big grand blockbuster where the Enterprise D somehow returns from wherever this harvester ship took them.
Mm-hmm. And have to fight their way out, but it's, I suppose it's a bit like the latest Independence Day movie. Do you remember Independence Day?
Mm-mm.
Never seen it.
Really?
The latest one? I thought there was only one.
No, there's a sequel to it. Oh. Where now now we won against the aliens that were blown up. Like they blew up New York and Washington and cities all across the world.
Oh, spoiler alert.
It was out in 1993, I think. Yeah. The Statue of Limitations has passed. So it's a sequel where the aliens get the distress signal from all the ships that we blew up. They came to harvest Earth and they sent their planet harvester to come and basically destroy the Earth.
And they could be doing that because they have a conspiracy and it's like, you killed my children and we were trying to talk with you and now you killed our children. So we are destroying you. We're harvesting you. Yeah. Because we weren't nice and we didn't give those conspiracy aliens a chance.
I think that's part... My episode is part two. I think, Rhea, your idea of having them back is part one, where, like, the whole Federation, Klingon Empire, the Romulans, the Ferengi, everybody in the Alpha Quadrant and Beta Quadrants are on high alert because there's been, like, mass infestations. There's been all these little anomalies opening up where we kind of conspiracy alien swarm ships coming through attacking colonies.
Oh, and the whole time we think it's a Dominion thing.
Ooh.
And it's the Enterprise that puts two and two together and beep, 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 beep.
Mm.
Yeah. Data figures out recognizes the communication. I don't know.
Something.
Whatever,
yeah,
the Enterprise figures
something
out
like
that it's actually the conspiracy aliens, not the Founders.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, I don't know how far you are in the Bobbyverse books, but the Others...
Yeah.
Now that swarm-like, hive-like species and Others,
mm-hmm.
I think my brain's in that kind of mode where I wanted something big and evil, but non-humanoid,
mm-hmm.
something that's truly alien that we can't really understand, and it just wants to harvest us and control us and eat us as food.
It's a little reminiscent of Discovery Season 4 with the sea species 10C.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that was like massive and they were able to do that because of the VR wall, dome thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that massiveness that we get now with Trek that we didn't have. So that would be good to have that.
Yes. I think that's one thing Star Trek's never done very well is aliens.
Because
they've always just been
humanoid
with kind of bits of latex.
Wow. Like it, Joe. Alrighty. Amy, yes. Rounding us out.
Okay, so you'll just need to help me with this because
that's why we're here.
Yes. So Rhea, you really sparked that connection between DS9 and Voyager. And so I wanted to continue that, but I also wanted Wesley to have a better, more proper, appropriate send-off. And we know that Voyager started, yeah, mid-year. Well, you know, October-ish, I think.
January.
At the half year. Yeah. Half school. Okay, yeah. So, like, yeah. So, again, mid-season, Voyager is gone, and they send the Enterprise to investigate, right? The caretaker, and like, what the heck happened? Because you're going to send your best ship, because Voyager is now missing. And we get Wesley coming in as, you know, the traveler, and is able, now help me.
He magically brings a Voyager back, and then we don't need the next seven seasons.
So, like, but the caretaker is a life form, right?
A sporocysteine life form.
Yeah. So, and it was dying. Mm-hmm. Was its whole world dying?
I just think it was dying, yeah. Because it was on the array, the space station. They blew up with tri-cobalt torpedoes.
But wasn't there another one there that left?
There was, another caretaker that Voyager comes across a couple seasons later, who I think was pretty angry, as I recall.
Yeah. And so maybe it's Wesley talking to and finding the homeworld of the caretakers, but then still being unsuccessful to actually pinpoint where Voyager is. Like, it's okay to fail, but I would like to see that dialogue.
I wonder, too, if Wesley / the traveler folk, I'm sure he's still a traveler trainee, they locate the Voyager. They know darn well where it is. They can bring it back, but they don't, because certain things have to happen.
Like, they have their own prime directive.
Yes, yes, which is pretty much what was alluded to in Picard, as I recall. So it's like, we can bring Voyager back, but...
But we can't,
We're not going to.
Okay, so like, prime directive, a Wesley traveler, and a Voyager all mixed together.
Okay, so is the premise that Wesley's back in the Enterprise to run experiments on the one one has gone before? Kind of traveling, like, really fast, just to see how it works, see if they can nail it down and figure out these powers that Wesley has now. And Wesley takes them to a place that is the caretaker's homeworld. And while they're there, they make first contact, and the caretaker's species mention that they've met our race before.
Yes.
And they figure out that Voyager... No, they can't figure that the Voyager's not lost. Because we don't...
Well, no, they do know that Voyager is lost, but because the caretaker was so old that no one knows where Voyager is, because the one guy who sent them is dead.
And maybe, because so the caretaker, the planet Kes, what's the name of her species?
Ocampa,
yeah. So basically the caretaker was... Ocampa had become dependent on the caretaker to the point where they weren't developing as a species or as individuals or whatever. And so maybe because of the influence of the Wesley traveler, when they go to the caretaker planet, they see the negative impact that the caretaker had inadvertently on the Ocampa. And it's a life lesson, like a prime directive kind of episode, but for the caretaker.
Yes.
People. And Wesley still won't bring Voyager back. So there.
You guys, oh my gosh.
I think we fleshed out that entire episode.
I think we did. Yeah. Where should we have that? I mean, it has to be halfway through the year because Voyager. So, like, maybe a 18? 22?
19, no, because 20, 21, 22 was our three-part.
Yeah. But we have 27 episodes.
Why 27?
Oh, wait. How many episodes are there?
26.
Oh, 26. Okay.
Well,
I was thinking 18.
There were 16.
18? Okay.
Yeah, because by the time Caretaker aired, it would be about, episodes 10 or 12 or something. 12 to 14, okay. Somewhere like that.
Yeah, 18 TNG sounds good for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it should really tie in with the Voyager pilot.
Right. Yeah, we would plan that when that is.
Yeah, so they both air on the same night. Week. So you watch a Voyager pilot, and then, oh yeah, in that week, yeah, Voyager pilot, then TNG season 8 episode whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the same, it's concurrent storylines. Yeah.
Yep.
I love it, and it's a great tie-in, and it would be great for launching this new series. But my question is, Voyager was the big, you know, like the flagship series of the UPN network, whilst TNG and DS9 were both in syndication. So it's almost like, you know, is this syndicated show going to be used to promote some show on a different network, UPN, that nobody, but you know what? We'll let the suits figure that out. We're just here to come up with stories.
Yeah, we don't care about all that legal stuff bureaucracy.
It's the greater Star Trek multiverse that we're all about. There's a Star Trek multiverse now. That's so wonderful.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you guys are brilliant. So I don't know how they're going to produce season 8, if they're going to, you know, CG tech the tech or something. But, you know, we're looking forward to the phone call from whoever from Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I'll quit teaching and go and executive produce.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll move to California, no big deal.
Yeah, we'll have a...
Sounds like a plan. We'll
share a townhouse or something.
Yeah.
And they can, do you know what, they can get... Yeah, they can make more bang for their buck. That's what it is. They can set a reality show in our townhouse. Yeah, cameras everywhere filming these random nobodies that are coming in to make a flagship show for a huge major network.
That would take off, because how many shows do we have now of random nobodies being successful on TV? So that could work.
I think it could be hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. You guys, seriously, like 9 amazing episodes. I would want to see each and every one of these.
Same here.
I was so nervous about this. Well, and I've said it before, like when we do our what if episodes, like I have such a hard time being creative and I'm not a writer. I don't, you know, but oh my gosh, you guys, these ideas I think are pretty good. That's good quality.
These are my preferred episodes to podcast about, because my imagination is just rampant, and it's a bit like just to have fun and play with it, and invariably somebody will say something that will trigger another little idea, and before we have it, we've got nearly half a season.
Yep, it's the synergy that makes it. Because I'm like you, Amy. I'm kind of like, I can't think of anything, but think about what I would like to see. But when you throw the ideas out there and we get the three of us or whoever is on board that particular day going, like, here's an idea. Flesh it out for me.
See, it's like the DS9 documentary where they're planning their season 8. Like, we got the storyboard, we got episode titles and where they are for the season. Like, we're building it. This is fun. And it's that synergy, like you said, and working with others and bouncing ideas and no ego. Like, well, my idea is the best. We have to have... No, like, it's... You roll with it. I like it.
You know, the word synergy is come from the Greek. Syn ergos. Syn together. Ergos work. To work together. We come up with beautiful ideas. This is how it's... The Greeks invented this.
I've missed my Greek Rhea.
Wow. So any more final thoughts?
You know, there's a TNG season 8... a Twitter account, and it's written by Mike McMahon of Lord X fame, and there is a book which basically, it is, how many pages? It's like nearly 300 pages. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and it is $16, what it was when I bought it. It takes us through, it's all illustrated by Jason Ho, and the text is by Mike McMahon. And it basically takes you through the outlines of the entire season 8. There are lots of Lower Deck kind of ideas in it. There's an Ensign Beckett. There is an episode called Lowest Decks. So you thought he's written this before Lower Decks was made. So he's obviously been used all his season 8 TNG ideas and put them into Lower Decks. So yeah, look out for that or go and visit Twitter.
And what's the name of the book again?
The name of the book is Star Trek The Next Generation Warped. So,
perfect.
Yeah, it's a good read.
And Mike McMahon, I know you're listening. We are available for hire.
So. Yes. Aaron Waltke also. Anybody else? We're free. We have imaginations.
That's
listeners,
right.
If you're if you can draw, if you like to illustrate our ideas and give us a storyboard, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I would quite like a big A3 print framed on a wall of Galaxy Class Season 8 ideas.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
That would be so amazing.
Can you guys draw? I can't draw. I do stick figures and geometric doodles.
We would love to hear what you thought of today's episode and hope you'll join our Facebook group, the BQN Collective, to continue our discussion there. You can also tweet your thoughts at Galaxy Class Pod, and we'd love for you to reach out. Or you can follow the network on Twitter and Instagram at BQN Podcast. Did you get that, Alex Kurtman? BQN Podcast.
Please hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a star rating and written review. That helps others to find the show. So, Amy, where can people find you when you're not hunting down alien plague ships?
Well, when I'm not doing that, you can find me here on the network where I'm hosting All Good Things with Mark White and on Union Federation, which is talking about the Orville and New Trek. I am on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, but really, you just find me, the BQN Collective. I haven't been on Twitter in so long. I'm so bad. And Rhea, where can people find you when you are out hunting the Dominion?
Well, if I'm not out hunting the Dominion, if I'm taking a break from that, and I'm not pulling a U-Haul cross country, you can find me as of when this episode drops at Bally's Casino Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas. Otherwise, you can find me in the BQN Collective. Oh, hey, you can even email me at riapod47@gmail.com because, you know, I get so many emails there every day. You hear that, Alex Kurtzman? And Joe, where can people find you when you are not busily hanging up framed illustrations of your Season 8 TNG ideas?
Okay. I really want to do that. I want to finish the whole season and get it storyboarded. I want Laz Marquez to do artwork for the whole thing. Laz, drop what you're doing. Don't care if you need a job. Do our artwork. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But when I'm not doing that, you can email me joepodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet me on the Twitter, which, like Amy, I've not checked in a million years, at joejoe77uk, which is also my Instagram. And you can find me on the BQN Podcast Facebook thing.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. We are putting out more exclusive content for our patrons that you won't want to miss, like It's Green or Amy's Math Moments. Our good friend and network host, Christos Giannaris, is putting out a new podcast shortly, which is called What's the Tea, Bev? Which is going to, I think it has an LGBTQI+ focus.
And it's the news of the week.
The news of the week. And they'll be interviewing lots of cool people from all over the world. We're very excited about that. A huge shout out to our very own associate producer, Jim McMahon, who you'll know from Trivia with Jim. We are so grateful for your support. And I think we're maybe overdue for another trivia with easier questions, because last time that was, you'd have to be a mastermind.
I totally cleared out my category 100%. I got all six questions.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Americans cheat, is what I've got to say.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
At this time, we would like to thank our executive producers who make this all happen. They are Mark White, Tony Robinson, and Ken Tripp. A special thanks to Tony Robinson for our artwork each and every week.
Thank you for beaming aboard the Galaxy Class, and until next time,
great joy and gratitude.
The Enterprise is fully enclosed in the swarm ship.
Stay classy, Galaxy.
Engage.